This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
We are back right here at the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up today, 9 to 11, right here on the Fan. You're not going to want to miss that. But right now, we've got the one and only Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for PackersNews.com. You can find him on social media at ByRyanWood. Ryan, it is great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing, my friend?
You know, Andy, you know where I grew up. You know the NBA team that I prefer. So I could talk to you all morning about that Indiana Pacers win last night. But nobody wants to hear that, so I'll just say I'm doing great.
You are. I'm sure you are. Also, your Mets aren't doing exactly terrible either. I usually do like when our guests come on. Like yesterday, I know Mike Spofford, big Brewers fan. He doesn't get to talk Brewers ever, so I wanted to give him a little bit of time to talk Brewers. And I know you get to talk Packers all the time, but you don't get to talk about the Mets or the Pacers. Normally, I would love to give you that, but man, the Mets and the Pacers is just a tough one for me to swallow. I'm so sorry. Like if it would have been like. I don't know. There's so a billion other teams that it could have been. But, man, Pacers and Mets, really, those are the two?
Do you know how weird it is, first of all, for me as a lifelong Mets and Pacers fan to look up and, oh, my gosh, both these teams are actually really, really good? Like, that's never happened before. So it's a weird existence. But I will tell you this. I would really like my favorite teams to stop beating up on the favorite teams here in Wisconsin, if for no other reason than my 13-year-old son is a Wisconsin boy. It's all he knows. He is a massive Brewers, Bucks, Packers fan.
Good.
And it's just, it is strife in the household. It is not good. Over the past year, my teams keep beating his, and it's not great.
There's a rift. I can understand that. But no, I mean, it's obviously a very good time to be a fan of both. 2-0 lead out of nowhere for the Pacers. That was an unbelievable game. I mean, I can't imagine as a fan. We were talking about a little bit earlier of how crazy of a game that was. But, man, I mean, out of absolutely nowhere. In fact, I pretty much stopped watching it because I didn't think there was any chance that the Pacers had to kind of come back in that one. I was recording a podcast at the time and had the score just kind of updated. And I was like, all of a sudden, I just took a look at it and it was like final Pacers by one. I'm like, what in the heck just happened? And then obviously I had the chance to go and replay it. What an unbelievable ending.
There was never a point in that game until 1.1 seconds left that I thought the Pacers were going to win. They'd won game one. They did what they needed to do in Cleveland. At no point did I think, okay, I mean, they're getting boat raced. And it got me thinking, like, here in Wisconsin, when is the last win in which you pulled it out of nowhere in a game that nobody saw coming? Like, that's so rare to see your team win a game that you complete, like, there's just no chance here. And you look up at the final score, and oh my goodness, your team has more than that team. I don't know the last time that happened in Wisconsin, but it's rare to see a game like that.
No, we're really good at doing the opposite is what we're really good at. We make a habit out of having a nice lead, feeling very comfortable, and then letting things slip through the fingers at the very end. That's what our PhD is in. So, no, we like to do the opposite here in Wisconsin. But as you know very well, covering the Packers as well. All right, let's talk some Packers football. Let's start with the NFL draft. I know that's obviously still what's most fresh in people's minds. What was, just in general, your key takeaways from this draft that happened a little over a week ago now?
Well, I think anytime you can exit a draft when you have a young quarterback. And that's the term that we always seem to gloss over. And I understand why with Jordan Love. Because he got paid right off the bat, right? One season as starter, and then he gets capital P-A-I-D. But he is still a young quarterback. He's still developing. He's entering his pivotal third year. And when you can exit that draft, and the biggest benefactor of the draft is your young quarterback that you need to continually pump resources into, continually help and assist in that development, that's a good thing. So Jordan Love being the biggest benefactor, and the fact that they helped, they got him playmakers, which we saw last season down the stretch, there were not enough. They needed more. It was a massive reason why they were firing blanks in Philadelphia. They didn't have the firepower to go in against that defense and really put up much of a fight. They got him playmakers, and then they got him beef, right, with Anthony Belton. With between him, Jordan Morgan being a first-round pick last year, a big uncertainty, a big mystery, but very intriguing. There's a lot of premium assets now for competition on the offensive line, at receiver. Jordan Love's got to be smiling about that.
He's got to be smiling, and Matt LaFleur as well. There's really not a ingredient that they're missing. There's none on that offense. They've got beef, like you said, along the offensive line. They've got some really nice pass protectors. They've got a Josh Jacobs in that backfield with a variety of other types of backs now, including getting back Marshawn Lloyd. You've got a big, what theoretically should be a nice receiving tight end in Luke Musgrave, and overall tight end in Kraft. All these different pieces that you could, again, basically build a basketball lineup with at wide receiver. There's not much excuse. There's not much that they're missing. With Jordan Love being one of the top paid quarterbacks and Matt LaFleur being this offensive guru, you would think that they have everything that they need now to be one of the top, not that they were a bad offense, but like you said, in those big games, it wasn't quite the same. They should have everything they need now to be one of the top offenses in football.
And I think, you know, who else is smiling is the other name you said there, Josh Jacobs. It's so fascinating, this transformation that the Packers have taken over this offseason on their offensive line, bringing in Aaron Banks, 6'5", 325, bringing in Anthony Belton, 6'6", 335, although Anthony Belton did say at rookie minicamp he wants to shed 10 more pounds, get down to 325 by training camp. These are big dudes, and they fit the principles and philosophy of how this Packers offense wants to run. The identity of this offense last season was obviously that shift from outside zone to inside zone run scheme behind or in front of Josh Jacobs, and They need the horses to be able to pull that. That is a rugged, brutal, power-blocking scheme. Very different than what we saw before Josh Jacobs with Aaron Jones. So they're adding those body types up front. The other part, you know, they didn't have enough firepower in Philadelphia last playoffs. They also didn't have the offensive line, the girth, the strength, the power to be able to go up against that Eagles defensive front, which is going nowhere. I mean, they still got studs on that defensive line, so they really armed themselves to be able to go up against the best defenses in this NFC. And in getting bigger, they also added 4.29 speed in Matthew Golden. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. Now, those guys need to develop. We don't know how they're going to develop, but on paper, you can see the blueprint there.
No, you certainly can, and it's noteworthy that their three heaviest players on the roster have all come this offseason. They got Belton is their heaviest second-round pick, Nasir Stackhouse, the defensive tackle they signed in undrafted free agency, and then Aaron Banks. Up until they signed Stackhouse as a UDFA, their two biggest players that they had on the entire roster were Banks and Belton, who they added to that offensive line. And then even John Williams, 322, who they added in the seventh, is, you know, about sixth on that list now. So they definitely added a little bit of beef up front. And I think with going to this kind of Josh Jacobs style of running game, I think it was something that clearly they had a mind to do so. I think it makes sense to do so. And I'm very intrigued to see how this plays out. Do you see Belton as somebody who's going to, you know, compete at left tackle a little bit more, or maybe right guard for, you know, Sean Ryan?
That's the big question. And to be honest with you, Andy, I don't know. In rookie minicamp, it was a walkthrough this past weekend. We saw 30-minute individual team drill period, and there was no team reps. So the big question with him is where. I'd be lying to you if I knew. Last year, Matt LaFleur, immediately after the draft, said that they're going to start repping Jordan Morgan at left tackle, where he played at Arizona. And then it just never happened. It never materialized. He was guard right away. Why? Because they looked at their offensive line and they said, well, where's the best chance to maybe get some snaps to our first round pick? And it was right guard. It was Sean Ryan. So that never happened. It'll be interesting. I mean, we really don't know until the reps start in OTAs and then obviously in training camp. It could be anywhere, though. I mean, anywhere but center. I mean, that's how the Packers like their offensive lineman. Anthony Belton also obviously fits that profile, a three-year starter at NC State at left tackle. He has the height, the size to play left tackle, but he also has the poundage to go inside and play guard and to be that inside zone blocking scheme type guard. He is a road grading type offensive lineman, so they it gives them flexibility, and they have a lot of guys now that have that kind of flexibility on the offensive line. Obviously, Jordan Morgan, Zach Tom's going to stay at right tackle, but we're seeing an offensive line that can put a lot of different pieces, which is why you can move Elgton Jenkins to center from left guard because he has that positional flexibility.
Yeah, there's so many of those guys that can play so many different spots, and we know Green Bay loves their versatility. We saw it again in this draft, how much it is important to them, and along the offensive line, they certainly have a ton of it. We're being joined by Ryan Wood. You can find him over on PackersNews.com as a Packers beat writer, and of course on social media at by Ryan Wood. All right, there, as you mentioned, rookie minicamp, there was not a ton to take away from it, but curious if you were able to glean anything from either the rookie minicamp itself or maybe the interviews from the day prior.
As far as the on-field work, I'll be very honest with you, Andy. I try not to glean anything from the on-field work at rookie minicamp because it's not simple, right? The purpose of this rookie minicamp was for Matt LaFleur to show the new guys how they practice, the type of intensity they want to practice. What we saw the most of in that individual drill, that 30-minute indie period, was Jason Vrabel, Ryan Mahaffey, the two receivers coaches, literally going through how to set your stance with Matthew Golden, Savion Williams, the footwork, not just running the route, the footwork in the stance. There were several minutes of just that. They strip everything down to the basics so that they start from the right place, and it's the rookie orientation. The key word is orientation. It's like any other job when you come in for orientation. You're learning just the very basic groundwork of how to do the job. And that's what these guys went through this past weekend. There will be some more football, surely some team reps, when OTAs commence later this month. But the football part really doesn't start, you know, this until they strap the pads early in training camp. That's when it becomes football. So, I the interviews might have told us a little bit more, although it's one interview. It's 10 to 12 minutes. Matthew Golden he obviously arrived to the Packers in rock star fashion, picked by Green Bay in Green Bay, absolutely meets the moment on draft night, lingers on the stage, and there's obviously going to be a ton of pressure that chases him into the NFL now. It's going to be tighter than any defensive back can possibly be because he's the guy that ended the drought. 23 years, he's the first round pick at that position. And the Packers have been desperate since trading Devontae Adams 3 years ago to have that number one receiver. Well, Matthew Golden's clearly leaning into that. He was asked if he heard Matt LaFleur had texted Jordan Love, hey, get your arm loose, get ready to air it out, that 4.29 speed. And Matthew Golden said, hey, I'm going to try to run 4.29 on the field so that Jordan can put it out there for me. He's not backing away. I mean, he is that fast. He has the tools to stretch the field, and that's what he intends to do, So on down the line, a lot of they're happy to be here, but now we got to see them get to work.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about him and certainly this rookie group as a whole. I think they really got some unique players that can help in a variety of different ways. Ryan, one of my favorite articles of this offseason so far has been the one that you have as your pinned tweet. And the pinned tweet simply states, in kind of the lead up to it, the Packers dropped 34 accurate throws from Jordan Love. Let's just say half of those were caught. Instead of tying Will Levis for 28th in the NFL at 63.1% completion percentage, Love's completion clip would go to 67%, just behind Patrick Mahomes. Drops drops were a major issue this past year. I just kind of talked about it in some of my biggest questions remaining this offseason. And so what they do this offseason is they go and they draft Savion Williams, who has a 10.4% drop rate in college, and Matthew Golden, who had a 9.4% drop rate in college, although that improved quite a bit this past year at Texas. But drops have been an issue. I think it's still a major question mark. How can Green Bay go about making it so this is not a problem in 2025?
Yeah, well, I think what you're seeing is intentionality. You know, talk about the offensive line and really the trenches in general, adding their three biggest players on the roster this offseason. Why? They needed to get bigger. Going out and drafting two receivers that don't drop the ball. Why? Because there was way too much of that last season. And I thought it got your ears going when Brian Gutekunst comes out on draft night, and one of the first things he says about Matthew Golden is, he had some of the best hands in the draft by their evaluation. This is a guy that, you know, he's not known to drop the ball, runs crisp routes, and he finishes those routes by catching the ball, which is the first job of a wide receiver, is to catch the ball. So bringing in someone that does that, but also when you do bring in someone that does that, and he is a first round pick, and for all the talent, all the depth that they have at receiver, none of those other guys our first-round picks, that guy's mere presence in the room, on the practice field, in game, that he's going to get the attention of everyone else that needs to pick up their hands. They need to catch more passes for Jordan Love. It wasn't all on the receivers. Jordan Love had some inaccurate throws too, but just if you catch the gimmies, and in the NFL, if it hits your hands, it's not contested, that is a gimme. You're a professional receiver. It has to get caught. If you do that, that alone lifts this offense another step, another level. So I think it's twofold. I think it's having a guy that's going to play, that catches the ball, and is getting the attention of everyone else on that depth chart. Hey, you got to catch the ball.
Yeah, they certainly do. And I think, again, we've heard pretty much every press conference over the past year from Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur how much they want competition at every position. They have it now at wide receiver, drafting two guys in the first two rounds, going and getting a Mecole Hardman, already having a lot of depth at that position. Now it's just who can step up and take that kind of lead in that wide receiver room. Obviously, again, Matthew Golden will have a huge opportunity to do that, but hopefully the consistency can kind of come with that competition and we see everyone step up, because if they don't, they could go from, you know, number one or two wide receiver to a number five or six in that room in a very quick hurry. So I think that's going to be a very interesting thing to keep an eye on. Ryan, I know you've got a lot going on, and you do an incredible job covering the Packers over at PackersNews.com. What do you got cooking this coming week, or anything you want to plug on the way out here?
Yeah, you know, just this time of year, the fun thing for me with the draft is obviously you have all these new players come into the system, but you also have these new stories come into the system. Every draft pick has a story, has a history, has a background, has an identity on the field and off the field. So it's always fun for me to really dig into what those are. I'll leave you with this, Andy, just because you mentioned Mecole Hardman. One of the things that stood out to me over the interview sessions that we had during rookie orientation, both Matthew Golden and Savion Williams were asked, have you heard from the new receivers yet? And both of those guys mentioned Mecole Hardman, that they'd already heard from Mecole Hardman, who is as veteran in that room as it gets. And you talk about competition. Mecole Hardman's going to have to compete his way onto the roster now. There is a lot of premium draft capital at the receiver position. He's going to have to compete. He's going to have to earn his spot. But the fact that he's already taken something of a leadership role, I thought was very interesting.
I think it's very interesting. That last wide receiver spot potentially between, you know, a Bull Melton, a Malik Heath, and Mecole Hardman could go in a variety of different ways. Three very different types of wide receivers if it comes down to that. I had Hardman in my recent 53 prediction kind of for that reason, but also because of the punt return ability. But that's going to be a very fun competition as well. And that's a great start for Mecole Hardman if he wants to make the team, is to kind of take that leadership mantle. Ryan, you do incredible work. Looking forward to anything that you have coming out over at PackersNews.com in the near future. Keep up that awesome work. I'm sure I'll see you around in the near future. And I'll begrudgingly say good luck to your Pacers and your Mets.
Oh, man, I'm on cloud nine. Thanks, Andy.
You bet. Appreciate it a ton. That's Ryan Wood. Check him out over on social media at By Ryan Wood. We've got a lot of Pack-A-Day radio show coming up next, so don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.